Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermons at Grace Community Church to our lives as followers of Jesus. From time to time, we're also going to address other topics as it's helpful for us as we consider how to live our faith out in our world. Our desire and our hope is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Good afternoon. Today is April the 2nd, and I'm with Scott Patty for Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Post-Easter.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he is still risen.
He's risen.
He's alive.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. So we had our Easter Sunday 2 days ago, and then we had Good Friday last Friday. And so let's kind of recap the weekend, specifically about some of the things that we were looking at in Scripture in relation to Good Friday and Easter.
Okay.
Because you got us really confused on Easter because you opened a different book of the Bible, and I was just kidding.
1 Corinthians 15 rather than Isaiah.
Right. That's right.
Well, but on Friday, you know, again, just to recap, simple summary. There's a lot to how all this works in terms of the different events of the week and after before Easter, after Easter in different traditions. Mm-hmm. But to keep it simple for here, you know, we can simply say Friday night we remembered the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
It's called Good Friday, and it was a service focused on the cross. From Isaiah 53. We read from Luke 23 and 24, which was, 22 and 23, which was the account of the cross.
Right.
And then we explained that from Isaiah 53. And then Easter Sunday, we read the account of the resurrection from Luke 24. And then we explained that from 1 Corinthians 15. Mm-hmm. So what we were trying to do was talk about the event. Like what actually happened on that Friday and on that Sunday, cross and the resurrection, and then what it means. And of course, we could have gone on and on, so I didn't get to cover everything.
Yeah.
So if somebody said, you didn't talk about that or that, well, okay. Maybe next maybe next week. But anyway, the point is we talked about what it means, and then it got personal.
Yeah,
there's a calling. Implications for our lives, you know, how we respond to God, how we live.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because there's a pattern there. And I hope people picked up on it. And it's in 1 Corinthians 15. And it's a pattern about both the cross and the resurrection. And that is, we talk about it in terms of event. What is the gospel? We talk about it in terms of event, something that actually happened in history. And then the spiritual realities that that event accomplished. And then there's a call, there's a gospel call. And that's the gospel. I kept saying that over and over. This is the heart of the gospel.
Yeah.
The death of Christ on the cross for our sins and the resurrection of Christ from the dead and what that means.
Yeah. Here's a question before I get to the main question. As you kind of head, when you were heading into the weekend and heading Good Friday and you're thinking about the message on Easter Sunday, and you kind of thought about us as a congregation, what was something that you were hoping that we would gain from this weekend? Like, as we think about the cross and resurrection, was there anything from your study that you were like, I really hope this is what we get out of out of the weekend?
I do recall while I was preparing, just stopping and praying, asking the Lord to help us understand, really connect with the reality of the event.
Okay. Like this actually happened.
Yeah.
You could touch it and it was real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's often people put it in the category of these are themes. These are ideas that are out there that are religious and spiritual or good in nature, you know, and whatever those themes happen to be. But when I was working through, again, this past weekend, I just kept thinking about the reality of the moment, like the time, the place, the history, the flesh, the blood, the people, the sight, the sound, the smell, you know, the whole thing of it. And one of the things I wanted and was praying is that people would somehow come to see that more closely, more clearly, and more that it would be more real. So I used the phrase in both Friday night and Sunday morning, I used the phrase just as at a particular time, you know, 6 p.m. Friday evening, you know, March 29th, 2024, you entered this room.
Jesus went to the cross.
So at a point in time and at a particular place, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross in human history for our sins. And that was a historic event, and it was, and it accomplished something so deeply spiritual that it forever changes our relationship with God. Same for the resurrection. There was a moment in time, just like when we walked in at the 8:45 or the 10:30 service on Sunday, March 31st, 2024, and sat in a seat. So that physically, that really, Jesus at a particular moment in history and place, a real tomb, he rose from the dead. And I know that sounds obvious, you know, it's like, well, of course, that's why we're having it. But I don't know, Justin, I just wonder sometimes if the reality of that fades. Captures us.
That's good. Well, here's a question that I want to ask. As we think about the meaning of the cross from Good Friday, we think about the meaning of the resurrection from Easter, how can that, or how should that shape us as individuals, but specifically the entire church as it relates to our purpose and our mission? So how does the cross and the resurrection help shape our purpose and mission?
Well, let's go back to what actually it means. So if you read the Bible, it's very clear about the cross of Christ, that on the cross, God himself was doing something. God was securing our salvation through what we call atoning for our sins in his son, Jesus Christ. And I know people are going to want to say, well, keep going. He did a lot more than that. Well, yes, but that's the heart. Like Isaiah 53 says, that's the heart. You know, he bore the griefs and the sorrows that are due to our iniquity. The chastisement of our iniquity and sin was on him so that we might be at peace. You know, all right, so that's what was happening. And similarly, in the resurrection, what was happening? What was happening there is that the Father was raising his son from the dead, vindicating him, verifying the accomplishments of the cross, and the son now alive forever to continue and carry on his intercessory work and ministry, and also his granting of life to us because he's alive, resurrected life. So if we can just, you know, get that in our heads, then we can then say, well, what does that mean for me? Well, okay, a lot. Number one, it shows us who God is. He's a holy and righteous God who has to save us from our sin because we can't save ourselves. He is a life-giving God who has to impart new life to us because we can't have life in ourselves. He's doing something for us. It tells us what salvation is. It is to be saved from our sins, reconciled to God, and have new life. So it shapes us there. It tells us what we're called to do. We are called to repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and follow him as our Lord. It's a calling. It shapes our mission in the world. This is the message that God has delivered, saved all of us with, delivered to the church to be given to the world, to be carried out in the world, our mission. And so we're communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. It would say that we're also reflecting God when we do that. We're communicating his message of salvation, but we're reflecting the saving work of God. We're going to people. We're calling them out of darkness into light. So it would shape our obedience. You know, he becomes our Savior and our Lord. We are obedient to him. His love is shed abroad in our hearts. He did all this out of love. His love is shed abroad in our hearts. So it shapes then the way we love people and interact with them. We could just go on and on. I think one of the things that might be helpful, maybe you're driving at it. Because you and I have had conversations about this before, is making sure that we understand what the heart of the gospel is. And then saying, now how do we live as people who have been saved by this gospel.
Right, yeah.
Versus making all of our living a part of what it means to
be reconciled,
the very message of the gospel.
Right.
Yeah, and so we would want to make, is that what you're driving at?
Yeah, so what I'm hearing you say, even in like as we live as Christians, how we live out our faith because of what Christ has done on the cross, mm-hmm. and what the resurrection has done for us, we are reflecting who God is in the world, which is hopefully bringing people in to see, right, how they can be reconciled to God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the mission of the church is to bring the message of mm-hmm. the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection mm-hmm. of Christ on our behalf for our sins and for new life.
Right.
To bring that to the world. Mm-hmm. And to make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so when we do that, there are lots of activities that we are engaged in to reflect who God is and to mm-hmm. reflect God's holiness, to reflect God's justice, his justice, to reflect God's love and his compassion.
Yeah.
You know, his mercy. There's a lot of things that we do to reflect that mm-hmm. As our way of living in the world.
Right.
But our primary task is to present the message of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's helpful. That's helpful. I'm getting to hear that it's helping us with our message. Mm-hmm. It's helping us with our living. Mm-hmm. And in all, especially in our living, that is reflecting the nature of who God is.
Yeah.
Yeah. To people around us.
Yeah. And one of the things we need to guard against mm-hmm. is to say that the things that we do in the world, because our lives have been transformed by Christ mm-hmm. and because we want to express God's holiness mm-hmm. and his justice and his love and the character of God, to say that doing that somehow is the gospel. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that doesn't reconcile us to God.
Right.
That's the outgrowth
yeah.
of being reconciled to right. God.
And that may bring people in to hear the good news,
right?
But that alone in itself, what I'm hearing you say, is not the gospel.
Right. We need yeah. to bring the message of repentance and faith
yeah.
in Jesus Christ to all people.
Good.
While we're doing everything we do in this life to God's glory.
Yeah.
Which includes a lot of service, mm-hmm. a lot of active obedience, mm-hmm. a lot of ministry to people in all walks of life.
Yeah.
That's our living in an obedient life. But we're bringing the message mm-hmm. that a person must repent and believe in Jesus Christ, who died for their sins according to the scriptures, mm-hmm. was buried, and was raised on the third day according to the scripture. That's
yeah.
the heart of the gospel.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful. And the last question I would ask is, as we come out of this, how would you encourage us as a church to be praying in the days ahead? I get it. You know, mm-hmm. you hear this a lot. It's like, well, we celebrate the cross resurrection every Sunday. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the gospel, and we're going to be doing that. But even as we think about coming out of this weekend and maybe for some of us getting refocused a little bit, you know, how would you encourage us to pray as a church mm-hmm. in our city and in the world?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are multitudes of people who mm-hmm. do not understand this very basic gospel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Many people,
right?
I mean, multitudes of people have not heard and do not understand the clear message of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on their behalf.
Yeah.
And what it means for them in their sin and what it means for them in the deadness of their life mm-hmm. and spiritually and how they can repent and believe and be forgiven, and how the Spirit can change their hearts and give them new life, and they can live new in this world and in the world to come. That, I mean, we need to be praying that message goes out, that it captures people's hearts by the power of the Spirit, that mm-hmm. they do repent and believe and are saved.
Right.
That's a message that we can't ever stop talking about.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we do often, mm-hmm. and I don't know why, but
yeah.
we need to pray for that.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be amazing if there was a real gathering, in mm-hmm. gathering by the power of the Spirit mm-hmm. to people into faith in Christ?
Yeah.
And then those people transformed, out, launched out, living in the world mm-hmm. to reflect the character of God in His holiness and His love and His justice and His mercy. And wouldn't that be powerful?
Yeah.
That's it. Now, we could go on and on, but right. That, you say, what do we pray for? We pray that the message of the gospel that we've described here mm-hmm. is proclaimed and believed and received, and it transforms our hearts mm-hmm. and the church grows and Christians live in the world changed by this with a new vision of God and life and people.
Yep.
And they're out living their lives unto His glory, mm-hmm. Which is inevitably going to mean working unto His glory, serving unto His glory, mm-hmm. being involved in ways to minister to people unto His glory, mm-hmm. proclaiming the gospel to His glory.
Yep. Yeah. Well, good. That's helpful as we think about our purpose, our vision, and even how to pray and how to get involved in our world. Rubbing shoulders with people, and that more and more people might come to faith mm-hmm. in Him. Well, good. Well, so we'll be back in Isaiah this upcoming
Sunday.
That's
right.
Look forward to jumping back in. All right.